Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. We all remember the Axis powers of the mid-20th century during the Second War. And then there was George Bush, George W. Bush, during the early days of the War on Terror, announcing the Axis of Evil consisted of Iran, Iraq, and then, surprising everyone, so that it wasn't just a list of people who worship Islam, North Korea. Well, there might be a new axis of evil, and to introduce us to the possibilities, Josh Rogan, who writes global opinions for the Washington Post, taking this moment to observe the just concluded Vostok 2022, a gathering of arms and men and machinery in the east of Siberia, the Russian army leading the cause. Other participants, including China, Vladimir Putin attended. And to note that Vladimir Putin is gathering together allies in his conduct, not only the war in Ukraine, but also the opposition to NATO. Josh, a very good evening to you. It's not a hit list that you want to be on, but we begin to see the outlines of what Putin sees as his construction. Is China on the list, for example? Is North Korea? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, this wouldn't be the first time that a set of anti-American, anti-Western dictators claim to have be forming a bloc to oppose and then Western sanctions and then build their own infrastructure of alliances. The difference, I think, this time, talking to people both inside the U.S. government and out, is that it seems to be gaining traction, simply that since the war in Ukraine began last February, that the additional pressure from the West on a lot of these countries has, and other strategic circumstances have driven them together in such a way that they are actually finding ways to cooperate, not just on tactical issues here and there, but on more strategic and long-term planning. And I think this manifests itself in a number of ways. Militarily, just for one example, we see the Vostok 2022 exercises occurring right now in Russia's Far East, and China is a major player there with over 2,000 troops and hundreds of ships and planes. It includes an entire roster of nasty dictators, including the Myanmar junta and the Syrian regime and others. And economically, we saw Russia and Putin convene an economic forum in the eastern city of Vladivostok last week. And next week, we'll see a meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in Uzbekistan, where Xi Jinping and Putin will meet for the second time this year. And what they're doing is they're trying to create systems and mechanisms that avoid both the international multilateral organizations like the UN, who have the power to sanction them, but also get them off of the currency system that's based on, and the financial system that's based on, the euro and the dollar. And, we have to admit in the West that that it's working, because we downplay it at our own peril. That's my view. And the Biden administration's reaction is, oh, well, these isolated dictators can have each other, and good luck with that. And that makes sense from a public relations standpoint. But at the same time, I think there's a growing sense both inside the administration and in Congress that if it's really working, if this block of autocrats, this axis of evil 2.0, whatever you want to call it, is really getting organized, then we better get organized to respond to that.
You mentioned in your column, Josh, the possibility, not confirmed to my understanding, of buying an arsenal from North Korea. Artillery shells are mentioned. And then there's also mentioned, but not confirmed to my light, the idea of recruiting workers. How about soldiers from North Korea? They'll sell anything for a buck.
Right. North Korea is the really interesting piece of this, because it's a nuclear power, but at the same time, it's the most isolated country on Earth. But the fact that Russia and North Korea are closer now than they have been in decades should tell us something. Now, again, if you're a Biden administration official, you look at that and you say, oh, well, have fun with each other. You two deserve each other. That's not a threat to us. But the truth is that, you know, these countries are helping each other avoid the pressure and skirt the rules and violate the laws of the international system and more. And that's a joint threat to our interests. Now, when it comes to the actual workers going to Ukraine from North Korea or the actual artillery shells going from North Korean stores to Russian stores, I'm skeptical, frankly. I don't really think those things are happening yet. You can imagine a situation where, you know, the Russian army gets so desperate that they train in, you know, artillery shells all the way from North Korea, all the way to Ukraine on trains, you know, 40-year-old shells that they sold them. Now they're going to buy them back. I guess it's possible. But the point is that they're willing to explore these types of cooperation, which, if they materialize, would fundamentally destroy the usefulness of all UN sanctions. Because once you have the permanent member of the UN in Russia and another permanent member of the UN in China openly defying the sanctions regime that they're nominally supposed to be enforcing, well, then that whole sanctions regime becomes a joke. And that's just one example of how, you know, North Korea's emergence as an open friend of Russia, China, and Iran is really troubling in ways that it wasn't before.
You mentioned the administration and these clear bad actors, but there's this zone in between the bad actors and NATO. And that includes half the G20 states, I'm told, have not sanctioned Russia. Also, Africa and South America are filled with states that are either on the fence or not participating in the condemnation of Ukraine. What do we know about the administration's opinion of these? Well, they used to be called non-aligned. I don't know the name now.
Right. Well, to be clear, you know, there's no one in the U.S. government who wants a world divided into blocks. And I argue in my column that although that's a very bad idea, it just may be simply one that we can no longer avoid, because if our adversaries are going to form a block, then I guess we're going to have to form a block to resist to them. Then, you know, there will be a lot of countries that don't want to take sides, and especially these pseudo democracies, these faux democracies like Turkey, like Egypt, like India, just to name a few, they'll play both sides for their own advantage. And that's what happened during the Cold War. And that's what's going to happen again. And, you know, I think the administration has a lack of tools to really respond to each of these cases and a lack of sophistication in the way that they approach it. And Turkey's a perfect example. Pakistan is another perfect example. Turkey's a NATO ally of the United States. Pakistan is a non-NATO major ally of the United States. And both of those countries are much more friendly with our adversaries they are at this point than us. And, you know, again, this is a kind of part of the problem of dealing with the axis of autocracies. If we wanted to deal with it right now, what I see is a lot of denialism. I see a lot of, you know, oh, well, that's, you know, let's just wait and see if that turns into something. But what I argue in my column is that, no, this is not the time for policymakers to sit on their hands. This is the time to come up with creative and innovative and new ways to form military policy and economic policy and financial policy and diplomatic policy that deals with these aggressive totalitarian dictatorships in ways that respond to the fact that they're pooling their efforts. And if they're pooling their efforts because our pressure campaign is working, great. But that doesn't mean that we're done, because they have enormous, especially with China, enormous financial, economic, diplomatic, and military power to bring to bear.
We have less than a minute, Josh, and the big question is China. This is the second meeting between Xi and Putin since the beginning of the conflict. The unknowns, as China's buying oil, China's buying natural gas, China's seeking other trades, but is China participating in any fashion that sustains the military effort? Have you seen any report like that?
Right. Well, from what we know, China is not providing weapons to support the Russian military, but they're helping the Russian war effort in almost every other way conceivable in the propaganda space, in the information warfare space. They're helping China's helping Russia avoid financial sanctions. They're helping them. They're buying the gas. They're buying the wheat. They're bailing out the Russian economy. And they're using their various levers of influence to help Russia defend itself diplomatically at the UN. And, you know, so I think there's a lot of loose talk in Washington, frankly, about, oh, well, maybe China can be pulled off of the alliance and join forces against Russia. And then there's talk on the other side about, well, maybe Russia could be pulled away from China. And again, what I argue in the column, which what I think is true, is that, no, these aggressive totalitarian dictatorships are destined to be allies because they share a character and a common interest and a common value, and that is opposed to ours. That they, in other words, that they mean us harm, and that we fool ourselves by thinking that we can ally with an aggressive totalitarian dictatorship against another. And actually, it's all one problem. So we should ally with free and open societies and those who are sympathetic to that effort to stop them.
Josh Rogan, The Global Opinions, Washington Post. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.